I'm kind of enjoying this cool weather. It kind of felt like fall out there today, didn't it? Well, compared to last week, it did anyway. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to the book of James chapter 1 this morning, if you would, with me today. I'd like us to look at this text together and see some things from the Word of God. Let me just say again how very blessed we are to have so many folks visiting with us this morning. If I started to recognize everyone by name, I'd probably miss somebody, but because there's so many of you, I just want to say thank you, and we're honored. Anytime that a guest is at Faithway Baptist Church, we do not take that for granted. And we're just honored that you would come and honored that you'd want to be here with us. And so thank you again for coming. I tell you what, let's give all of our visitors today a round of applause and thank them for being with us. And we appreciate them, and make sure that if folks in our church, if you meet a visitor, and especially to all of these new members, make sure you get around to shake their hand and thank them for being here and thank them for being part of Faithway Baptist Church. To our guests and our new members, we are honored to have you today and thankful that you're here this morning. Stand with me if you would. We're going to read from the book of James chapter 1. It's good to see my aunt and uncle, Jesse and Shannon back there, and I think they may have come to hear me sing today. I don't know if that was me or if it was their son. But we're glad that they came today, and good to have you with us this morning. James chapter 1, beginning in verse number 17. I'd like to start there and then go down to the end of the chapter, verse 27. The Bible says, every good gift, in verse 17, and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he, that means he birthed us, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's pray today. Father, we are here before you as unworthy recipients of your love. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your love to us. Lord, I pray that today that this perfect gift of the Word of God, as we've opened it, we've read it, we're going to study it, we're going to look at it, Lord. The Word is going to be preached today. I pray that you would please loose my tongue to be able to say that which you would have me to say. Remove from my mind that which you'd not have me to say, if that is part of what I have in my plans but not in your plans. Lord, help the ears of those who hear and the ears of my heart, Lord, to be attentive to your Word today. Thank you for how you have blessed us today with this wonderful group of people who have gathered here. And Lord, each and every one of them come bearing burdens, they come bearing heartaches, but Lord, all of them today have this hope that you have died for them. You shed your blood for them. Lord, there is no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Lord, for that, we are so thankful to you. And I pray that if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that they would please receive you today. Lord, convict their heart. Help them, Lord, to know that today can be the day of their salvation. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. And you may be seated this morning. You know, this passage of Scripture begins earlier, and we're going to look at it in just a moment, the beginning portion of the chapter. But I want to say this morning that there has been, in the last several months, I would say year and a half, it seems like people have been just oppressed. Now, I'm not here this morning to blame the government, and I'm not here to even talk about the political nature. You may think when we talk about the events of the last year and a half, you might think, well, you know, Satan has had his way with our world, and it's just getting worse and worse. I'd agree with you. But I'm not here to necessarily focus on that. I'm here this morning just at the beginning to acknowledge that what I've noticed is that people of God even, and people in general, but people who believe in God, who love the Lord, who care about the things of God, who go to church on a regular basis, who sing in the choir or teach a class or serve in a ministry, who are faithful to their devotions and faithful to their time of prayer. I've noticed that those people have been through what I would say we're going to talk about this morning, a lot of trials and a lot of temptations. You know, the Bible says we have an enemy. His name is Satan, and the enemy is one who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever stopped to think for just a moment this morning that Satan hates you? He hates us. You say, that wasn't the word of encouragement I was looking for. But I tell you, we have to understand that. We have an adversary. We have an enemy. And what he is doing in the lives of people today, I think it's unrivaled. I've at least from what I have seen from personal experience. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, yeah, I've been through a lot. And I'm going through a lot. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, my trials are great. Or you know, I'm tempted and I've got sin in my life and I just can't seem to get victory over all of that. You know, there's a rash of just increased oppression and temptation from the devil these days. Before our eyes, and I mean, you can drive down the street and it's hard not to be tempted. There's allurement of the world, the flesh, and the devil everywhere we look. You say, now, preacher, I came this morning. I'm facing all of that. I hope this is not the end of the message. Well, maybe some of you would enjoy it if it were the end of the message. It's awful earlier today. But I hope this isn't what you have to say to me today that, you know, wow, the trials and temptations, they're just so bad. No, I'm here to tell you that we have hope, and that hope is found in the Word of God. This is the month of July. It's the halfway point. We're more than halfway through the year. And something I want to emphasize to you before we get going a little bit too much more in the service today is that probably, like a lot of people, you sat down in December or the 1st of January and you made a bunch of goals and you wrote down some resolutions and you tried to follow those things and maybe you've done well, maybe you haven't done well, maybe you've completely abandoned. You know, there's some things that God wants us to do that we many times at these natural benchmarks in our timeline, we'll make a decision. This year I'm going to do this, and this year I'm going to do that. It's always good to come back in the middle of the year and to review what God laid on your heart and kind of take inventory. God, have I neglected my walk with you? God, have I neglected my prayer time? Have I neglected my time in the Word? Have I neglected my witness? Have I neglected my love for one another? Well, this morning, I want to take the first chapter of James, and I want us to look together in this chapter, and I want us to see today how you can survive trials and temptations. How you can survive trials and temptations. Let's look, if you would, in verse number 2, and I want you to see, number 1 today, that in the text, there is a point that is being made, a point that is made. That's point number 1 today. James, the servant of God, verse 1, and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, what's that next word? Patience. I want you to see something today. The first thing we see, the first point we see being made in the scripture is that we will face trials. Look at verse number 2 with me again, and I want you to read it out loud. If you have it there, read it out loud. If not, just listen as everyone else reads it today. Verse 2, ready, begin. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And then verse 3, and fill in the blank when I pause, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Someone said, never pray for patience. Because if you pray for patience, then the scripture is true that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let me say, I think we should pray for patience. I think we should pray for patience and say, God, whatever you have to do in my life to teach me patience and a true reliance and faith on you. The word patience in Scripture, it means endurance. It means to continue on. Matter of fact, we read that word, continue thou therein, a little bit later in the text. So God is saying that there will be trials. You say, well, what kind of trials are we going to have? Well, God says there are going to be all kinds of trials. Look what it says in verse 2, that you'll fall into divers temptations. That means just a diversity, different types of temptations. Now, here's the thing. We could probably all today make a list. And where we used to count our blessings, maybe we're counting our trials a little bit, okay? So let me just kind of give you a little bit of permission. It's from me. It's not from God. But let me give you some permission today to kind of write down. And don't write it down, but maybe in your mind, just take inventory. Trials and temptations. I bet you if you took inventory of your trials, and if you looked at all of them, you would say, man, I'm going through a lot of different things. I said this last year. Not only did we have a pandemic and all of the craziness that ensued from all of that, but we also had people going through great difficulties. And here's what I discovered. I discovered that most Christians are not just going through one trial. I discovered that most believers right now are going through a lot of them. Boy, that really makes my heart more tender to your needs. It seemed like everything that we would try to do the last year or so, we would find ourselves, we knew it was God wanted, what God wanted. We knew that some of these things were good, but there was so much resistance. You may be dealing with financial, family, and other issues all at the same time. You know, the Bible says, count it all joy when you enter into a diversity of temptations. God says there'll be all kinds of temptations. Hey, he says something else about that. God says that these temptations, or these trials rather, we'll just use the word trials because there is a distinguishing between the two. These trials are to be viewed as opportunities and not setbacks. Can I tell you something? That is a hard mentality to develop. That's hard to develop that response mechanism. Because when I get in the car and the car won't start and I'm headed somewhere I need to go, I don't look up to heaven and say, thank you, Lord. Wow, you are so good. I do like you do. I start saying, oh, come on. I mean, good night. It's not even a Ford and it's broken down. These are opportunities, not setbacks. You know what God tells us to do? When we enter into this diversity of trials, of hardships, of difficulties, count it all joy. Can I tell you some truth this morning? You say, I've been waiting for that this whole sermon. I'm waiting for some truth. Can I tell you something? God is using that in your life to develop your faith. That's what he's doing. God wants your faith to grow. God wants your love for him to grow. You say, I just can't understand how this could be viewed as an opportunity. Ask God, and he will do what he can do. Trials, what are they? Well, there's going to be all kinds of them, God says. They're going to be viewed as opportunities to develop one's faith and not setbacks. And the Bible says they're also to be endured. Endured. Verse 4, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, let me just tell you what that means real quick, and then we'll move on. It doesn't mean that we'll be sinlessly perfect. It doesn't mean that we'll be flawless. It means that patience in our life, the endurance of trials, and the development of our faith through difficult days and hardships and things that God allows in your life, where they may not seem like they're good things to you, but they're things that God is going to use in your life. The Bible tells us that those things are there to mature us. That's what that word perfect means. That you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Meaning this, that God wants to make you a well-rounded child of his. That's what he's trying to do. God's going to put you through different things. And it's amazing how when we develop the mindset that God is not punishing us, he is building us. He is developing us. You say, Pastor, I don't know how that's possible, but nonetheless, the point is being made in Scripture. The other point that's being made here, before we move on, is that, number one, we're going to face trials, but also, letter A was trials, letter B, we're going to face temptations too. Can I tell you a secret? Okay, it's not a secret. Matter of fact, I'll just quote it to you. Paul said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is, if you know it, say the next word, common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of, say the next word, escape. Well, if trials are difficulties and hardship that come into our time, then temptations are those things that are pulling us away from the will of God, the work of God, the worship of God. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. And as believers are being bombarded by the fiery darts of Satan, let me just tell you something. He is going to tempt you, and you will face temptation. Look at verse 13. Turn the page if you need to turn the page or find it there on the page. It says here, matter of fact, go back one verse here, verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 13, here's where we need to see this today. We're going to find out what God says about temptation in this before we move on. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, let me just tell you, a trial is something that God may allow in your life, but temptation is never from God. Temptation is what the devil will use to draw you away. It's what he will use to guide you, even subtly, away from the will of God. And he's always going toward one thing. He wants you to sin. Huh. We don't talk about sin much anymore in this culture, do we? Matter of fact, you look around you, it'd be hard to count them all. You say, man, Pastor, we came today, we're already making lists of all of our trials and all of our sins. Well, just get ready. We're going to burn the list in a few minutes, okay? We're not going to stay there. But the truth of the matter is that sin is breaking the law of God. Sin is an affront to God. Sin is something that God hates, and yet it's something that we struggle with. Have you ever noticed that after you got saved, you still struggled with sin? Oh, I do. You still struggle with temptation? So temptation is not from God. What is temptation? Where does it come from? You say, you know what? I've got it figured out. Anytime I sin, I'm just going to say the words of that old gospel hymn, the devil made me do it. That's not a gospel hymn. I got that one wrong. But you might be surprised at what the Word of God says about that. Look at verse 14. Where does temptation come from? Every man, the Bible says, is tempted when he is drawn away. Now, it doesn't say of Satan. It doesn't say of the world. It says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Lust is a craving for that which is unholy. Lust is a craving for that which is wrong. And you say, well, I haven't sinned, but lust is what comes before that sin. Now, the reality is that all of us struggle with lust. And when I say lust, we all think kind of one area, but lust could be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. So it could be the lust of the flesh, which is pretty self-explanatory, or it could be looking around saying, I don't have that, I want that. And I don't have that, I want that. And I don't have that, I want that. And it's all about acquiring more and more, and it's a lack of contentment, and it's, hey, I want what I want, and it's all about me. Really, lust is focused, and it is centered right here on me, myself, and I. Those are my three best friends, by the way. So what does that mean to us? It means that, you know, there's a reason that you're tempted about certain things and I'm not tempted on those things. And I'm tempted about certain things and you're not tempted about certain things. Do you know what happens with our lust? Our lust drives the temptation. Can I tell you there's some things I'm not tempted on? I mean, zero tempted on. I will tell you the things that I am not tempted on. I will not tell you the things that I am tempted on, okay? This is not confession time. I can walk down the alcohol aisle, and I don't, but I could walk down the alcohol aisle at the store and not crave it one bit. I've never touched a drop. I've never had that. I've never had that craving. For that matter, I don't remember even any peer pressure, and that's just a blessing from God on my life. I don't remember any peer pressure from anyone saying, here, do this. You know, later in my life, sure, I've been offered alcohol, different things like that, but can I just tell you something? If I walked down that aisle, I would not say, man, I got to get out of here. I wouldn't do that. Now, you walk me down the steak aisle, and that's a different story altogether. Okay. I thought we would stick with the food and beverage thing. Okay. But the reality is that's not my lust. No, no, no. God's going to tempt you where your flesh is weak. God's going to, or not God, you know who I'm saying. The other guy. This is one of those, folks. It's one of those. Satan will tempt you out of your lust. A lot of times we say, well, it was the devil's fault. But you know, we've got enough wickedness right here. Every man is born dead in trespasses and sin. Okay, temptation unchecked results in sin, and sin results in death. Look at verse 15. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Can we all just agree on that? It's exactly how it works every time. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So in trials we're to endure, but then verse 16 says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not be in error is what that means. In trials we endure, in temptations, we're to avoid error, or we could say we're to resist temptation. So that's the point that's being made. Every one of us is going to face trials and temptations. What are the two things we're all going to face? Say them with me. Ready? Trials and temptations. But point number two is this. Not only is there a point being made there, but there's also a premise that is laid here. The book of James is written, matter of fact, one of the very first New Testament books to be written was the book of James. And it was written to believers. It was written to Christian folks. It was written to people who had accepted Christ. And he acknowledges here that this is the case in verse number 17 when he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. Now, let me just focus in on that today. The premise being laid here is that there is only one way that we can truly avoid, or we can truly survive, rather. We will never avoid them, but survive trials and temptations. And he tells us what it is here in verse 18. He says, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. Can I tell you something? That the only way a person comes to Christ in salvation is that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's right. That's right. See, the truth is contained in the word of God. James, this being one of the first New Testament books, he'd be referring maybe even to the exact spoken word of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for us today, we have the complete written word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look at it and we say, what is this premise? Well, the first thing that we find about the premise is that the word of God is a good gift. It's a good gift. Hey, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Did you know today that God gave you his word so not only could you hear the gospel and receive Christ as your Savior, but also that you could live victoriously in this present world? Yeah. Hey, what is this in the armor of God? The word. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the Bible says. This is a weapon. The word of God here, it tells us, gave us new birth. Of his own will begat, birthed he us with the word of God. And the Bible tells us here in verse 19, the first word, and this is where we complete our thought this morning. The first word of verse 19 tells us that because of that, connected to that, we can survive trials and temptations. It just says, wherefore? Wherefore? You know, the great thing about this is, That word is there to say, because of all that it was that I said in chapter 1, all the way down through verse 18, wherefore, because of all of this, you are going to see how to go forward. You're going to see how to live. The book of James is kind of like in the New Testament, what the book of Proverbs is in the Old Testament. And it takes us on a journey here, and I want to say that this is where we find ourselves. Okay, first, the point's being made. The point is that we'll all face trials and temptations. The second is that there's a premise being laid. The word of God is the answer. But the third thought for us this morning is that there is also a process to be followed. And we follow that process by faith. Let's look at the text this morning again. Verse number 19. Wherefore, he says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. All right, you say, how do I survive trials and temptations? The first thing that we have to do is we have to be quick to hear the word of God. Quick to hear the word of God. Let me make this personal to us this morning, okay? You read your Bible. Praise the Lord. Maybe you follow a schedule. That's good. You do what God lays on your heart. Maybe you try to read it through in a year. Maybe you do something in the realm of a schedule, or you listen to it. I love listening to the Word of God. It just gives it to me in fresh and new perspective, and all of those things are good. But what this is telling us here is that in all of the trials and temptations of life, the Bible says we need to be swift to hear. Here's the problem. Most of the time when we go through trials and temptations, we do not run to the Word of God. We run anywhere but. We say, oh, I got to go get help from over here, and I got to see if I can borrow some money, and I've got to see if I can do this. I've got to see if I can get some help from a psychologist, or I've got to see if I can do this or that. Listen, God may provide all of those things. He may send people into your life who can help you, but the first thing that the Bible tells us to do is be swift to hear the Word of God. The same word, by the way, that was used to give you the gospel and beget you, give you new birth. It's an amazing thing sometimes that we live this way, but we trusted God enough to save us, and yet we don't trust His Word enough to teach us. What a shame that is. So step number one, be quick to hear the Word of God. You know, I love when people have a Bible reading schedule. I love that. But James doesn't give us a Bible reading schedule, and he's a very practical man. I mean, if you read the book of James, it's just practical stuff all the way through. He doesn't give us a schedule. He doesn't say you got to read 3 or 4 chapters a day, or you've got to pray for 30 minutes. You've got to do all of those things are structures that we put in place to help us with our spiritual discipline. But can I tell you something? Much more important than accomplishing a Bible reading schedule in 2021 would be to intake and appropriate the Word of God into our daily lives. Problem is, listen to this. Listen, this is true. Most of us already know more scripture than we're in obedience to. Most of us already know more Bible verses than what we're actually living. So we've got to learn how to not only read the Bible, but we've got to learn how to live the Bible. And when we don't live it, we get right back and run to it. Maybe you could covenant with God. Say, Lord, I believe your word, and your word says that if I will hide God's word in my heart, I will not sin against thee. That's what the psalmist says. I'm going to hide God's word. I think that speaks of scripture memory and meditation. Maybe you could say this. I got to looking this morning in the book of James. You may say, boy, there's 5 chapters there, and I don't think I could memorize and quote that whole book. And I used to have that kind of pressure where I thought, boy, I've got to memorize, and then I've got to be able to quote the whole thing. But you could memorize the whole book of James. You may not remember it all when you're done. But if you memorized, listen to this, if you memorized 6 verses a day, or a week, 6 verses a week between now and the end of the year, you will have memorized the whole book of James. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I think I could do that. Oh, you could do it. You could put it as your screen on your phone. You could write it on a 3x5 card or print it off and stick it in your Bible. And after your devotions, read those 6 verses 6 times and just read them as many times as they are there and over and over and over again and then quote. And by the end of the week, man, you're going to be able to quote that. So why don't you try to do that? Why don't we try to think about what we're reading? Sometimes we try to eat so much that we don't enjoy it. Maybe you could just enjoy those 6 verses. I'm not saying that's all you need to read this week. I'm trying to put in our mind that as we kind of restart and get a fresh start this second half of the year, find a way to get God's word in your heart. Let's look at the rest of the verse because it's absolutely worth noticing. It'll be interesting to us today. It says, let every man be swift to hear. But then it says, we need to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. See, I wonder why God would tell us to be slow to speak. Can I tell you, you shouldn't have to think about that very long. Listen to yourself talk. Listen to your neighbors talk. Do you know we have so much sin in us that the less we say, the better? 2 ears, 1 mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk. Then it says this, be slow to wrath. You know, here's what the application is for that. People today are struggling with such anger. Matter of fact, they've stopped struggling with it. They've totally given in to it. Angry, angry, angry people. So maybe you're here and you're a child of God and you're not giving in to it, but yet you say, man, that's my problem. I've got a hair trigger. I've got a short fuse. And the Bible says be slow to wrath, and that's just not what I do. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Did you know that in order to overcome your anger, you're going to have to start looking at things with a different understanding than you have now? So that's step one. Be quick to hear the word of God. Step number two, Be a doer and not a hearer only. Look at that, verse number 22. Read it out loud with me, just verse 22. Ready? Begin. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let's do that one more time. Give you more time to get with it. Here we go. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The Bible tells us that if we're going to be effective, if we're going to be in the will of God with our relationship to the word of God, then very, very simply here, we have got to learn how to not only hear what God has to say, but to put it into practice. Did you know that is wisdom defined? Is the application of knowledge. That's what wisdom is. It's to take what we know and to put it into practice. Sometimes we hear the word, but we don't put it into practice. And God uses an interesting illustration. He said it's like standing in front of a mirror and looking and seeing what you are and walking away and forgetting the mess that you just saw. When we come to church, and that ought to resonate with us. How many of you have ever come to church and you hear something, you go, boy, that's what I needed, and man, that's exactly right, and oh man, you know what, that's exactly right, and you go home and nothing changes. That's what the Bible's talking about right there. Is to hear it, but not to do it. If you want to survive trials and temptations, you can't just read this thing. You've got to live it. Hey, the problem today is not that we're not reading the Bible. I believe a lot of us are. The Bible's never been more accessible today. You can get it right now. You can pull it up on your phone. If the old time preachers got to study like I study, boy, I wonder what that verse is. I remember two words out of that. Click, click, click. There it is. They had to read it. They had to know it. And the more you put in you, the more it becomes a part of you. We've got to move quickly. The third thing, bridle and control your tongue. Have you ever heard someone who goes through something and all they can do is talk about it? If any man among you seem to be religious, in verse 26, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. There's a lot of talking about self-censoring today. You know, that's that term that they use for people who are afraid to say what they think because free speech is under attack and all that. Well, can I say, from the perspective of freedom of speech, it's not a bad thing to always be worried about saying things, and especially if we're worried about proclaiming the word of God. But from the perspective of a testimony, self-censoring ought to be something we do every day. Matter of fact, we ought to be spirit seasoning. Here's what the Bible says, Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. You know, it's not so bad to say things every once in a while that hit home, but I get a little bit weary of people who say, well, I just speak my mind. Could you not do that for your own good? God says, folks, listen, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted as wise. So any idiot can look smart by keeping his mouth shut. Why are we so focused on saying, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that? And can I tell you, chapter 3 of the book of James absolutely lines this out. We don't have time for us to get there, but the Bible says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and I will guarantee that there are probably in everyone here, especially anyone of any age, you can remember something that somebody said to you, maybe even just that quick, that hurt you very deeply. Step 4. So step number 1 is that we need to be quick to hear the word of God. Step number 2 is to be a doer and not a hearer only. Step number 3 is to bridle and control the tongue. Step number 4 is this: learn to serve others and walk with God. Look what it says in verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That's what I do for others. And to keep himself unspotted from the world, that's what I do for myself. Two words that kind of rhyme or go together: serving and sanctify. Serving and sanctify. We need to take time when we're going through heartaches. We want to be served, we want to be helped. We love it when we're helped. But you know what the Bible tells us? It's good to find someone else to invest in because it does something funny to you. It teaches you that you're not the only one going through something. You're not the only one going through a battle. I don't say that this morning to minimize your trial. I don't say that this morning to minimize your difficulty and your struggle. I say that today that one of the ways that we get revenge on our sin is to teach other people about God has given us victory. It's an amazing thing. You go look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where it talks about godly sorrow. And one of the things that they did is, oh, what revenge you took out on that sin, that old sin that they got right. But get engaged in serving somebody less fortunate than you. Have a cause that's bigger than yourself. Spend time at the feet of Jesus, cleansing, confessing, continuing in Him to keep yourself unspotted from the world. It's amazing how these things help you through trials and temptations. God doesn't say that He'll remove trials and temptations. God says you will be tried and you will be tempted. And the way to answer that is to go to the Word of God, to not only go there, but to live there, to keep our tongue in check, and to serve others, and ask God to continue sanctifying us daily. I'm thankful that when I got saved, I got sanctified in an eternal sense. But what God is doing in our life progressively is He's trying to make us more and more like Himself. And if I go to God and say, Lord, I've sinned. Lord, please help me. Lord, give victory today. Help me, Lord, to continue in Your ways. Those two things are just miraculously effective in helping us survive. The point, we're all going to find trials and temptations in our life. The premise, the Word of God is sufficient for it all. And the process is important for each of us to go through. I just wonder if you're here this morning and you say, you know, I've been going through all my trials and my temptations. I've just been doing it on my own. I've been trying to fix things my way. I haven't been following the biblical way, the biblical path. Maybe this morning you could commit to God and say, I'm going to start doing what the Word of God says. And by the grace of God, I believe you're going to see things, not maybe turn around in your trials, but you're going to see your whole world change when you do things God's way. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank You for this. Help us this morning. I know there are probably some who are here today suffering, hurting. Lord, I pray that this morning the message has been clear.